to shut up or get cut out. They don't wanna hear about it. Sony inches on the reel to reel. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is a sound salvation.
Hello, folks. You're listening to the Mad Dog, Matt Wilson, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we've got all sorts of songs and sounds and stories for you today. We'll talk with Shirley Buell, co-president of the League of Women Voters of Rensselaer County. We're going to hear all kinds of electro music from ESG, Cyberite, Tuvoco Rot, and others. And we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Makers Syndicate. And radio news about social media being blamed for school shootings. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
On air, in air, channel, connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network.
Saturday, June 4th, turn out for a hike with Bob Gildersleeve and Robert Titus at the North South Lake Park in Haines Falls, put on by the Mountaintop Historical Society. Historian Bob Gildersleeve and geologist Robert Titus lead a hike around the North South Lake to celebrate National Trails Day, with Gildersleeve describing the cultural history of the area and Titus sharing the geological history. This is at 9 a.m. Saturday, June 4th, and you can find out more information about this and many other local events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Wendy Libertor is reporting for the Times Union that the gun industry has a spokesperson with exceptional access to U.S. Representative Elise Stefanik, the number three Republican in the House. It's her husband, Matthew Manda. Manda is the manager of public affairs for the National Shooting Sports Foundation, based in Newtown, Connecticut. The trade group's mission is, quote, to promote, protect, and preserve hunting and the shooting sports, unquote, and was one of the plaintiffs in a federal lawsuit attempting to block a New York law that increases potential liability for gun manufacturers. The suit was dismissed by a judge in Albany earlier this week, but an appeal is likely. Manda frequently writes for the foundation's website and other outlets about the group's events and policy positions. Quote, law-abiding Americans choose over and over again to take their personal safety into their own hands and purchase a firearm, unquote, he wrote in April. Quote, Congress needs to ensure the industry is free from woke corporate discrimination, unquote. Manda's article did not mention that Stefanik is his wife, and he did not respond to a Times Union request for comment. A foundation spokesperson refused to say when Manda started working for the group, calling it, quote, personal information, unquote. When the Times Union called Stefanik advisor and campaign spokesperson Alex DeGrassi to ask if Manda's work influences Stefanik's position on gun rights, DeGrassi called the reporter, quote, a very sick person, unquote. He then sent an email calling the Times Union, quote, sexist, unquote. Stefanik was a strong ally to the gun industry long before her husband went to work for the NSSF, and she has an A-plus rating from the National Rifle Association. Stefanik and Manda met in 2012 and were married in 2017. At the time, Manda was the marketing and communications director for the Virginia-based Media Group of America, which runs the conservative news website The Independent Journal Review. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
David Cruz reports at the Gothamist about the reactions to the murder of 19 elementary school children and two adults in Texas from Republicans running for governor in New York. Long Island Representative Lee Zeldin tweeted condolences. Andrew Giuliani, the son of former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, urged his Twitter followers to, and I quote, pray together with me for them, end quote. Millionaire hedge fund manager Harry Wilson called the shooting, and I quote, unimaginable and unacceptable on Twitter. Former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino called for, and I quote, enhanced background checks, end quote, but criticized politicians who, and I quote, rushed out to shamefully politicize this tragedy, end quote. Read the full story. Read more about this story at The Gothamist.
Kate Lisa reports for Capital Tonight that under legislation introduced by state lawmakers last week, fossil fuel companies that have emitted significant greenhouse gases leading to climate crisis would be required to pay a combined $30 billion to the state for environmental upgrades. The Climate Change Superfund Act would require coal, oil, and natural gas companies to pay a share of the cost of green infrastructure projects to remediate environmental harm and remove the burden from taxpayers who did not contribute to the emissions. Companies would pay damages based on their share of total greenhouse gas emissions since the year 2000. The State Department of Environmental Conservation would use the industry-specific formula for each fossil fuel company to calculate their emissions and identify those responsible. Proving negligence or wrongdoing is not required for companies to be obligated to pay damages. The proposed law would create the Climate Change Adaption Cost Recovery Program, equivalent to a state Superfund program to clean up toxic waste sites. Quote, who should pay? The oil companies should pay because they're the ones who are behind the problem, unquote, New York Public Interest Research Group Executive Director Blair Horner said. Quote, they caused a problem, they created waste, and they need to be on the hook for it, unquote. The funds collected would be placed in a climate change adaptation fund to be used for green infrastructure projects. Potential upgrades include repairing damage from extreme weather events and upgrades to stormwater drains, roads, bridges, electrification, and public transportation. Infrastructure projects to curb climate change are estimated to cost New York $10 billion annually by 2050. If the act is signed into law, the DEC, State Department of Taxation and Finance, and State Attorney General's Office would be responsible for enforcement. Read more about the story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Annie McDonald reports for NYN Media about how the now radical U.S. Supreme Court will probably soon overturn New York's rules about who can carry a concealed firearm in public. Scott Lemieux, a teaching professor of political science at the University of Washington, said of Tuesday's shooting in Texas, and I quote, we are now in an age in which the court is heavily polarized along party lines. 30 years ago, this kind of event could have made a difference. The reality is that there is pretty strong opposition among Republican elites to gun control. If Sandy Hook didn't change that, if the Orlando shooting didn't change that, it just seems unlikely that this is going to do it, end quote. The New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin decision is expected by the end of June. Two Rensselaer County residents brought the suit after applying for unrestricted licenses to carry handguns for self-defense. Instead, they got restricted licenses to carry handguns in specific settings, including hunting and target shooting. They claimed that was unconstitutional under the Second and Fourteenth Amendments. Eric Rubin, an assistant professor at Southern Methodist University's Dedman School of Law and a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice, said, and I quote, "It seems like there's a majority of the Supreme Court who is skeptical about the constitutionality of New York's restriction." Chief Justice John Roberts said in November, and I quote, "You don't have to say when you're looking for a permit to speak on a street corner or whatever that, you know, your speech is particularly important. So why do you have to show in this case, convince somebody that you're entitled to exercise your Second Amendment right?" End quote. The state legislature is also expected to respond to the ruling. State Senator Michael Giannaris said, and I quote, "We're not going to just sit back at a time of increasing gun violence and not react when the Supreme Court puts us in greater danger than we're already in. So you can rest assured that the legislature will move very quickly," end quote. Read more about this story at NYN Media.
Noah Eckstein reports for Columbia Green Media that Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson is in the process of finalizing details with the Hudson Business Coalition over the logistics of reinstalling concrete street barriers on Warren Street, intended to increase seating capacities for restaurants during the summer months. Last week, after receiving queries about the status of the Warren Street seasonal usage program from the Common Council, Johnson met with HBC President Alex Petraglia. Following the meeting, Petraglia and said the concrete block barriers and planters will return starting June 20th and remain in place until October 3rd. The barriers will be available to all dining establishments in the city, a change from what Johnson said previously. The mayor had said the program would begin sometime during the week of June 1st and would only be available for cafes, restaurants, and juice bars without outdoor dining spaces. City code is unclear about what constitutes outdoor dining, but City Code Enforcement Officer Craig Hay said what a business does with some of their sidewalk space is up to them. Businesses are allowed up to 4 feet of the sidewalk for outdoor seating as long as at least 2 feet are available for a pedestrian to pass. After the meeting last week, Johnson said the question of whether the program will be open to all dining establishments is still undecided. Petraglia said the cost of the program this year, including parking fees, plants, soil for the planters, materials to repair and improve planters, paint, reflectors, and reflective tape, will cost about $18,000. Petraglia said the HBC is working to secure grant support to cover the cost of aesthetic and safety improvements to the barriers, fixing the planters, and covering the fees that businesses would otherwise have to cover for lost parking revenue. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Ryan Whalen reports for New York State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul is moving forward with a proposal to block anyone under 21 years old from buying AR-15-style weapons, even though a California court recently struck down a similar law. In the last 2 weeks, 18-year-olds have used semi-automatic AR-15-style guns to commit mass murders in Buffalo and Uvalde, Texas. A few weeks ago, a California court ruled against banning 18-year-olds there from purchasing similar weapons. Hochul said, and I quote, "I'm not going to let my fear of losing a court case to stop me from what I think is correct for New Yorkers and will protect them because you may get a good judge also who actually cares and has common sense and would understand that these are not punitive measures. We have the right to protect people as well, and I'll make that argument in court any day of the week," end quote. Former New York State Supreme Court Justice Penny Wolfgang agreed. She said, and I quote, "There was a dissent in the decision, number one and number two. California is a different state from New York. Different court, different judges, and there may very well be a different interpretation," end quote. But when inevitable appeals of any potential lawsuit over the New York law head to the U.S. Supreme Court, will it have a chance to survive? Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast, all about how fossil fuels are affecting you and the local weather. Right now, the forecast is for a 21 air quality rating. That's very good. So you can breathe the air deeply this week. And there'll be some sun for local solar panels to start the week, and then maybe some wind by midweek for local windmills. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny Monday with a high of 85 and a wind from the west around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Partly cloudy is the forecast for Monday night with a low around 66 and a west wind around 6 miles per hour. Tuesday should be mostly sunny with a high of 86 and a northwest wind 7 to 13 miles per hour. Then Tuesday night there's a 20% chance of showers. Otherwise it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 63 and a northwest wind around 6 miles per hour. Wednesday, there is a 70% chance of showers before 11 a.m., then a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon with a high near 80. And Wednesday night, there is a 60% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 8 p.m. with a low around 55. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM. And Gas Buddy says the lowest price in Greene County is $4.85 a gallon at the Cumberland Farms in Cairo. So maybe you want to switch to a hybrid or electric vehicle soon. Monday, May 30th is Memorial Day, and WGXC has all sorts of creative community voices on the air on 90.7 FM. Including at 10 a.m., it's time to get on the Afrosonic Taxi, honoring those who have passed this week. Playing favorites at 11 a.m. is live from the WGXC studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church there, where Brendan Donegan is playing classic R&B, funk, and more. After the local news at noon, the Deep Three show has tracks from Nels Klein, Louis Rossiter, Alf Hagzist, and others. 2 p.m., the Vital Weekly show has new music from around the world, including works from Julie Tippetts, Mayasaka Kosiso, and Hilmato Kunst. The echolocation show from Liz LeJudis is at 3 p.m., tuning in the music of the Spears. We've got local gun stories at 6 p.m. on the All Together Now news program. And at 8 p.m., it's time for In My Room Radio with music from Astrid Sohn, Bichin Bajas, and Jim O'Rourke, among others, on WGXC.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Saturday, June 4th, turn out for a hike with Bob Gildersleeve and Robert Titus at the North South Lake Park in Haines Falls, put on by the Mountaintop Historical Society. Historian Bob Gildersleeve and geologist Robert Titus lead a hike around the North South Lake to celebrate National Trails Day, with Gildersleeve describing the cultural history of the area and Titus sharing the geological history. This is at 9 a.m. Saturday, June 4th, and you can find out more information about this and many other local events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Got questions about technology, cybersecurity? Whether it's a remote car starter or jellyfish, try your luck at stumping our panel on the Thingularity radio program. Just send your questions to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. That is CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. And one of our many interns will be electroshocked into inducing an answer for your listening pleasure. Listen to the Thingularity radio program every first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or anytime at wgxc.org. Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, May 30th, Memorial Day. We are 41% of the way through the year. We have 22 days left until summer official. Early morning temperatures range from 55 degrees over in Lexington to 60 degrees in Germantown. Soil temperature is in optimal range, coming in at 63 degrees. We have a beautiful and very warm Memorial Day ahead. Morning will be on the cool side. Afternoon will be pretty warm with a high of 89 happening at 4 p.m. Cloud cover will be moderate and dew points will be in the low to mid 60s. Overnight, it gets a bit muggy as temperatures lower to 68 degrees before bouncing back up to a toasty 92 tomorrow afternoon. After dark, chances of rain show up and linger overnight as temperatures fall to 65 degrees. Wednesday is looking stormy all day with a high of 80. Thursday will have a high of 77 and be mostly dry. Pollen levels for today will be high, with oak, hickory, and birch trees being the major aggressors, and don't expect much to change until Wednesday. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:36 a.m., then low tide at 10:28 a.m., high tide again at 4:07 p.m., then low tide once again at 10:20 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 69 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:08 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:19 a.m. Looking way up, we see the Tau Herculids are on the way. A meteor shower very early tomorrow morning is expected, with a chance of it reaching storm level, which means at least 1,000 meteors per hour. Solar wind speed is currently 539 kilometers per second at 9.12 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 42. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Henry Lowengard of Kingston, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Rock, 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 rock and roll.
Hi, this is Anya.
And this is Peter.
And we host a show called Rock and Roll High School.
On WGXC, first Monday of the month.
8 to 10 p.m. Tune in.
Ooh. We did it at the same time.
Yeah. Fun, fun, rock and roll, ask you. Fun, fun, rock and roll, ask you. Fun, fun.
to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeples. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio, WGXC.
My name is Jason Selvig, and I'm from West Palm Beach, Florida. And I would like to say that I am sick and tired of the left-wing media, and frankly, people in this room today, spreading misinformation about Wayne LaPierre. Whenever there's a mass shooting, they all say that Wayne LaPierre isn't doing enough to stop these mass shootings, and even implying that Wayne LaPierre has played a part in making it easier for these shooters to get guns, to get weapons. You heard it after Las Vegas. You heard it after Pulse nightclub in Orlando. You heard it after Columbine. You heard it after Parkland. You heard it after Virginia Tech. You heard it after Sandy Hook. You heard it after El Paso. You heard it after Buffalo. You kept hearing that Wayne LaPierre isn't doing enough, and frankly, that's not true. The NRA, under Wayne LaPierre's leadership, has provided thoughts and prayers to the victims and their families. And maybe these mass shootings would stop happening if we all thought a little bit more and we prayed a little bit more. So I'm asking everyone in this room to think, to pray. Give your thoughts and your prayers and your thoughts and your prayers and your prayers and your thoughts. And if we give enough of these thoughts and these prayers, these mass shootings will stop. So I want to thank you, Wayne LaPierre, for all your thoughts and all your prayers. Thank you.
I'm Tom Rowe at Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. Mike Masnick writes in Tech Dirt about how politicians are blaming words sent by radio waves for the multiple murders at schools, grocery stores, houses of worship, and other so-called soft targets around the nation, rather than guns. For instance, Republican Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker said on Fox News last week that the solution to school shootings involves, quote, a department that can look at young men that's looking at women that's looking at social media, unquote.
What we need to do is look into how we can stop those things. You know, he talked about doing a disinformation. What about getting a department that can look at young men that's looking at women that looking at just social media? What about doing that, looking into things like that, and we can stop that way?
Of course, Masnick points out a government department that is looking into the speech of people also is taking away constitutional rights. Meanwhile, the Washington Post lists all of the social media sites used by the recent mass shooters. Quote, both the Uvalde, Texas shooter and the one in Buffalo used a combination of disappearing video app Snapchat, Instagram direct messages, chat app Discord, and social app Yubu to meet people and share their violent plans with acquaintances. In the case of the Buffalo shooting, the gunman also used video streaming platform Twitch to publicize his deadly attack, unquote, Masnick wrote. Quote, it's weird to blame the tools for the actual communications, but that always seems to be the focus, unquote. Read more about this story at Tech Dirt and go to wavefarm.org in the newsroom for more radio news.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
So many things went wrong here. I'm asking a lot of questions.
Former Department of Homeland Security Counterterrorism Chief John Cohen called the police response to the Uvalde mass shooting a, quote, failure. Officers apparently waited an hour before entering the elementary school where 19 students and two teachers were killed. The Justice Department has announced it will conduct a review. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says he was misled about the police response. And Abbott announced donations to victims' families can be made through the Austin, Texas-based One Star Foundation Rob School Memorial Fund.
There is no overhead cost. 100% of the money that you donate is going to be going directly to victims of this horrible crime to help them with their lives.
President Joe Biden and the First Lady visited a memorial to the Robb Elementary School victims. Criticism of Republicans blocking gun control is rising. An activist confronted Texas Senator Ted Cruz in a Houston restaurant after Cruz spoke at the National Rifle Association convention.
Sir, if you don't want in his face, and why did you come here to the convention
to take blood money?
Why?
Only one GOP lawmaker, Illinois Representative Adam Kingsinger, has so far said he would be open to an assault weapons ban and raising the minimum age a person can own a firearm to 21. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says gunshots have now surpassed motor vehicle crashes as the leading cause of death for children in the U.S. Mark Fullman is the author of Trigger Points, Inside of the Mission to Stop Mass Shootings in America. He says what's called behavior threat assessment can help communities prevent mass shootings.
There are really some big questions here about how we can do better as a society to get in front of this problem when we can see it coming.
Saturday in Buffalo, New York, mourners remembered 86-year-old Ruth Whitfield, the last of 10 Black Americans killed in a racist attack at a supermarket to be laid to rest. Vice President Kamala Harris attended the service with her husband and gave an impromptu speech. Former President Donald Trump held a rally to support Harriet Hageman. Hageman is challenging Republican Representative Liz Cheney in the primary for Wyoming's single at-large U.S. House seat.
Wyoming thought you were electing a conservative warrior, but instead you got a lapdog for Pelosi and a human soundbite machine for CNN and MSDNC.
I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
That was 2022 new music from L. Michael's Affair with Pia Malek. The song was called Kabi.
Monday, May 30th is Memorial Day, and Porcupine Soup rounds up where there are events for the holiday in Greene County. On Memorial Day itself, there are events in Athens, Greenville, Cairo, New Baltimore, Coxsackie, and Plattsville. In Athens, a parade starts at 9 a.m. on May 30th at Wheat Street, Route 385, with stops at the Triangle to lay wreath, and then proceeds up Franklin Street to TGM American Legion Post 187 with speakers and refreshments. Greenville's parade begins at 10:15 a.m. at St. John's Church, then heads down State Route 81 into the hamlet with a memorial service following the parade at Greenville Veterans Park Gazebo. Cairo's parade steps off at 11 a.m. near Schindler's Auto Shop on Main Street and heads to Angelo Cana Town Park with a memorial service with American Legion Mohican Post 983. There is also a Memorial Day ceremony at 11 a.m. at the Coyman's Hollow Fire Department, 1290 Route 143. Coxsackie's parade begins at 1 p.m. on Apple Blossom Lane and proceeds down Mansion Street with stops at the World War II Monument, the Mansion Street Cemetery, and the World War I Monument at the church corners before ending at Village Hall. And Prattsville's Virgil E. Deo American Legion Post 1327 hosts an annual Memorial Day parade at 1 p.m. with a Memorial Day ceremony to follow at the town green.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
And it's once again time for our weekly check-in with the community group. This week, we're joined by Shirley Buell, who is co-president of the League of Women Voters of Rensselaer County. Welcome, Shirley.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. 10 minutes goes by so fast, and we have so much to cover with the League. I imagine everybody's heard of it, but I bet you especially younger people don't really even know what it is. So can you just start off by telling us what you stand for? What do you do?
Sure. We are a nonpartisan political membership organization. And we act after studying and member agreement to achieve solutions in the public interest on key community issues at all government levels. So we are not a, we take our time looking at situations and coming up with what we would recommend. We also work to build citizen participation in the democratic process. And we work to engage communities in promoting positive solutions to public policy issues through education and advocacy. We are part of the state and national League of Women Voters, and the mission statement, which is kind of what I just gave you, is consistent for all of those levels, but obviously what we work on depends on where we are. So we tailor what we do to issues of Rensselaer County.
That's one of the things that I've really appreciated about the League. Some other national civic good government groups have sort of a national cookie cutter agenda, and local chapters are just sort of foot soldiers in a national campaign. One of the things I've always appreciated about the League is the real depth and seriousness and thoroughness that local, is chapter the right word or affiliate? What do you call your local leagues?
know if we use those terms. We're the local league.
Okay, the local league. But the local leagues that you craft your own agenda according to what are the dominant issues locally and what people themselves are interested in working on. Is that right?
Yes. And so we do have to stay within the framework of the state and national. But yes, what we... each league has different things that they're focusing on because of the situation of that county.
So let's talk about Rensselaer County. Let's get specific. What are you guys focusing on?
Well, we always focus on increasing the number of eligible people registered to vote.
Mm-hmm.
We do regular, and again, during COVID, it had to be modified, but we do regular in-person voter registration, tabling or events. We go into high schools and we speak with teachers and students. We have a regular table at the farmers market this summer, now that they're mm-hmm. kind of back out on River Street. And we also will provide information like forms and information about voting in places where we can't just go in and table. That's become more the situation during the COVID and even sometimes now people are mm-hmm. still reluctant. So we can provide the information for that. We also have pamphlets that explain the voting process. We have sample ballots. There are many people who've not actually looked at a ballot and understand how to fill it out because it's slightly complicated.
I get it. I think we can say, okay, so you've got civic participation as far as voting goes. Mm-hmm. That is one big piece of what you do. Right, what are some of the other things?
Well, the other thing that we, in line with advocating for expanding voting,
mm-hmm.
In Rensselaer County, we were very active with several other groups to demand and then, you know, require the Rensselaer County Board of Elections to provide a downtown early voting site. So that required a lot of meetings, efforts, research, you know, meeting with Unity House, with...
I'm sorry to cut you short, but our time is going to go so fast and we're not going to get to all the good stuff that you do. And this this is because the league is thorough and deep. Yes. And you guys are not skating over the surface of anything. Congratulations on that victory of getting that early voting site. I understand that local leagues have committees or working groups that work on their own issues. What are some of the other issues that Rensselaer County League is working on?
We also were very involved in the census. We mm-hmm. partnered with, again, we do a lot of collaboration that we found that is the best way to have many, many volunteers to help with these efforts. Mm-hmm. We were involved in trying to make sure everybody registered for the census. We've been involved with redistricting.
Mm-hmm.
One of our members was on a, Capital District-wide redistricting committee.
Mm-hmm.
We've spoken out when the city of Troy had the legislators had offered up a proposal to increase the number of people on the redistricting committee. We spoke out against that because we felt it would result in deadlock. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cut you off because we're going to run out of time and I want to see if I can. So participation in our democracy, by voting, with electoral issues, with the sort of nuts and bolts and infrastructure of democracy. You guys are making sure those structures are as strong as they can be. I understand you also have a legislative agenda. What are your priorities there? Session's almost over. Is there anything carrying over?
Well, what we found is that even after the session ends, it is still valuable to continue to meet with legislators.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Right. So we do have several issues that we are really strongly looking at. I won't go into all the details again, but there are still issues around election law that we are pushing for, good government reform, healthcare. We're very supportive of the New York Healthcare Act and the medical aid in dying, consolidation of courts in the judicial area, and also the environment.
Yeah.
We just recently put together a proposal about waste reduction. Mm-hmm. And again, that was a Capital District-wide proposal. But what we do is, again, we do the study, we talk, we get experts, but then we also schedule meetings with legislators. So in Rensselaer County, we met with McDonald, Breslin, Ashby, and we speak to what our issues are, and we discuss with them what they see as their issues. So we're trying to develop a relationship with the local legislators.
That makes a lot of sense.
Medical aid in dying. So, and again, so much has been Zoom, but in the past we would do in person. And in terms of like educating people, we run a program called Students Inside Albany, which unfortunately got canceled this year because of COVID. But what it does is high school students can work with certain legislators. They follow them around for about 4 days. They learn how you do a bill, how you pass a bill, all the committee stuff, the politicking, all of that. And, you know, again, that's the idea, is to try and have people become more active.
That is a really good thing, because those kids can talk to each other and it will have a ripple effect among their peers and in their families. I know that we're just about out of time, and we're just going to have you come back, because I know we did not even scratch the surface of the important work that you're doing. If people want to get more involved, how can they do that?
Okay, I would say the best and easiest way is to go to our website, which is lwvrc.org.
And we will post that on our website with this piece, so everybody can just click on it.
Right, and you'll find information and a way, if people want to join, there's a way to do it through that.
That is great. Shirley Buell, co-president of the League of Women Voters of Rensselaer County, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. And I appreciate the opportunity to share our information. So thank you all.
Thanks.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.